from the EQC studio. Welcome to The Top Step with Ryan Roland Smith.
How we going, mates? It's Ryan Roland Smith. We are here inside the EQC studio for another episode of The Top Step. Now, if you missed episode number one, that's okay. You can go back and watch it over at YouTube. You can even watch the extended version of Felix Hernandez. I got a chance to sit with him on top of the dugout during the Mariners warm-up event, getting ready for opening day. It was a blast. Good to see Felix back. Also had Brandon Morrow and Eric O'Flaherty. So let's talk about today's episode. We have got a big one for you. Logan Gilbert, my favorite piece of this rotation. He's joining me, telling some stories, talking about some of the things I'm about to get right into. And with that, let's get to the top trends. All right, so the big trend for me today, the thing I want to talk about and something I want to ask Logan Gilbert about is how important is it to get off to a good start? People have asked me this a bunch. They've also asked me how much stock can you put in to numbers in spring training, how guys look in spring training. What does that mean? Does it matter if you're crushing the ball or you're getting lit up on the mound? It does matter. It does matter for certain guys. For me, it mattered big time, man. When I was in spring training, I wanted to absolutely dominate by the time I got out of there. I didn't want to go into my first start of the year having any kind of feeling of something's not quite right. And there were times like that where I'd go into, you get into the month of April, all of a sudden the schedule, your routine completely changes. You go from getting up at 6, 7 a.m., doing the PFPs, doing all the, you know, you're getting your quote-unquote work in, and then you pitch at a 1 o'clock game at Peoria, and you know the results don't matter. You're not silly. To all of a sudden, you go, man, and like they say, the lights come on and everything seems to change. And you see that too. You're going to see this bumps and bruises. Guys who absolutely dominated in spring training or killed it, raking, going through some you know, ups and downs in regards to performance. And it's super important for this team, especially this roster, this 2024 Mariners team, to get off to a good start. And for a couple different reasons. Number one, the rest of the division has dealt some bumps and bruises of their own. For example, the Texas Rangers, no DeGrom, no Max Scherzer. They're still trying to figure out their pitching stuff. So you want to capitalize. You want to bank all those wins in April, May, before you start getting some of your big dogs back. Especially too, as you head into that period of time where a team's looking around going, man, where are we looking? Where are we headed for this trade deadline? Are we going to go out and get a big piece or whatever it may be? Or when they start making decisions, you start to see a lot of decisions made in the month of May with certain guys, if they've gotten off to a good start or not. The Houston Astros, Justin Verlander, he's down for a little bit too. So they've taken a bit of a hit in their rotation. Plus, they've got a couple guys, as we've seen, some other members in their rotation, Christian Javier, Valdez, a couple of these guys that look shaky, man. If they can get off to that same, if they can take that same momentum that what we saw in spring training from them, the Mariners are in a good spot. Now, obviously, I get it. There's the Angels and the A's, whatever. Who knows what they're capable of doing? I don't know. A's, come on. Yeah, we all know what's going on there. But it's really, really important to set the tone with the Mariners because you want to win this division. Now, talking about from an individual standpoint of getting off to a good start, I think it's more important if you're a younger player than it is a veteran player. Veteran players can kind of understand, they got a little bit more runway, a little bit more leash where before, you know, teams start making decisions. Younger players, you kind of feel like you're auditioning. I know Logan Gilbert, you know, I've talked to him a bunch in the past. I'm sure he'll talk about that coming up after the break. Is when you're a younger player, even though you know you're going to be in the rotation, you still feel like you have to prove something. You still feel like that you want to prove to your teammates, your coaches, that you're a big part of this team. And so when I'm looking at this, with this Mariners team in 2024, there's a lot of new faces, man. There's a lot of veteran presence that are brand new. I know Mitch Haniger's coming back for the second time, but Mitch Garver, you know, played in the World Series last year. You got Polanco as well. When you get into that month of April, that's when you really figure out what your team, what the vibe in the clubhouse, what that team chemistry, what do you have in the tank when it comes to that. It's so, so important. And by the end of April, you've had a couple road trips. You've played on the road, so you see how guys react in different environments. You've had a couple opening days. You've had those bus trips, those plane trips. You know, what kind of attitude do some of these new guys have? Bring in some of the stuff from other teams, good or bad. I've seen what kind of leadership do you have? What shakes out? So all these little things that factor in. But this team, this 2024 Mariners team, have to get off to a good start. And a big part of that is going to be my next guest coming up. And that's Logan Gilbert. I can't wait to talk to this guy. He's looked really good this spring. He's going to have a monster year in 2024. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to say it in front of him. But I know he's going to have a monster year in 2024. I want to see him make the All-Star team. I want to see that split just get the usage through the roof with Logan Gilbert against all these lefties. And I want to see him anchor that rotation. I get it. They've got the best rotation in the game. But Logan's going to be the guy. He's going to be that guy pushing towards 200 innings. I can't wait. He's coming up right after the break. So don't go anywhere. Stay right here on the Top Step.
I live in Tacoma, and I'm all about the action. From making a run at the tables to multiple pay lines on my favorite machines. Game time. The sportsbook is better than being on the 50-yard line or sitting courtside. I'm here for it. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
The Top Step with Ryan Roland Smith is presented by EQC, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
All right, welcome back inside the EQC studios. I have got the guy who I've been making a ton of predictions this year, some big predictions. Now, I'm not going to say it right here in front of him because I don't want to jinx him. Plus, he might, you know, kind of get a little bit nervous here. But I do want to bring in favorite piece of the rotation. I love watching this guy pitch, especially the last couple of years. Logan Gilbert, welcome to the Top Step.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you.
No problem at all. So we're in year four right now for you. This is your third opening day, third start to a Mariners season. Do you feel, does anything feel different for you this time around compared to the last couple of years?
Yeah, every year feels a little different, I guess. Just the experience that comes into it, knowing a little bit more what to expect out of the season, what to expect out of myself. And you know, you're always going out there trying to prove yourself, but I feel like I'm just a part of the rotation, part of the team, and have been for a couple years, so I feel a little more comfortable.
You didn't feel like that, like going into last year, like coming out of spring training last year, 2023. Did you still feel like you had a lot to prove to be a part of the rotation?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it works because I always feel like there's something to prove. I think that's like a good edge to have as an athlete, as a pitcher. But at the same time, it's not like a tryout necessarily as much. It's like we're working with the coaches together. How are we getting better? That kind of stuff where I'm not really me trying to just audition as much. It's like a group effort of let's just continue to get better.
Yeah, right. Now you make a good point, man, because I remember like you always, you know, kind of feel like you're not auditioning, you're sort of beyond that stage. But if you get that to that position where you get too comfortable or you got things figured out, that's when it gets you. I remember, like, dude, that happened to me, man. Like year 3, year 4, I was like, oh, I got this figured out. I kind of moseyed on through spring training. But I love the way, you know, you say that. But I think too, you know, watching you throw and spring training, coming out of spring training last year compared to this year. Last year, to me, felt different because you're throwing that split. And I remember talking to you in April and you said that it's taken a while because you weren't throwing it that much in April. And you said that, you know, you had to kind of get that feeling where you felt like you were recovering correctly or when to throw that pitch. So just going back to last April, talk us through that. You're throwing a brand new pitch. Was it that situation where you felt like, you know, when do I throw this pitch? Am I confident with it? Am I comfortable with it?
Yeah, the first game against Cleveland, we didn't really get to it till maybe the fifth inning. And I think it worked out well for me because the first few I threw worked pretty well. And with a pitch like that, it's all trust. You throw it like a fastball, but half the time you don't know what it's going to do. The hitter doesn't know. I don't know. You just throw it and see what happens. And I got a few good ones right away, and I think that kind of helped me have that confidence to keep rolling with it. And a ton of credit to the catchers for knowing when to call it, what they're seeing, and that helps me out as well.
Is that something too? And just on the recovery side of things, because I coach a lot of teenagers, and they're always asking me, hey, what does Logan Gilbert do in between starts, or how does he recover, all that kind of stuff. But with the split especially, you did make that comment, I remember, where it's like, man, I don't know how I'm going to feel after I throw this pitch. Is it something different with that pitch in regards to how you recover or how it feels coming out of your hand?
I think there's a smart way to go about it. And just like any other pitch, I think you build up a stress tolerance as you go on. So just increasing the workload of that individual pitch, especially in spring, even my second year throwing it, I was still a little bit lower usage than normal as we're getting into longer outings. But knowing what you need to see out of it, I think for me, in bullpens, in between the week and pregame pen even, and not really doing anything more, because like I said, it's going to be unpredictable either way. It's more about just a starting point, intensity behind the pitch, and then it's going to do whatever it does anyway. So, you throw a curveball, you're trying to get feel and see it over and over, do what it's supposed to do. The splitter for me is, you want to be a little bit careful with overdoing it workload wise. So if I throw a few and I feel good and I'm throwing it like a heater, then I'm okay with it.
What was there a game last year you can remember, or like a period where you were like, man, I'm throwing a ton of these pitches? Like, I'm just trying to go back through your game. Like, obviously, I work on the broadcast and we talk about pitch usage a ton. Was there a time where you're like, man, I'm throwing a ton of these splits right now?
Gosh. I think probably the Atlanta game sticks out, just because if I remember right, we transitioned to it pretty quickly and pretty early, and then just threw a bunch after that all of a sudden. It wasn't necessarily like a decision before the game. It was just things took a turn and it was working and we just kept going with it. That was probably the first time last year.
I remember that, dude. Against some of those lefties, it was filthy. I remember that game in particular. Now, Bryce Miller, he's starting to throw a split. Is this a conversation you guys have? Does he come to you and say, hey, man, like, any questions with it, how you feel about it, how you throw it, anything like that that Bryce has bounced off you?
We talked a little at the end of last season when it was starting to get into his brain that he might want to do this, just the thought process. We texted a little in the off season. He came back and, I mean, he really doesn't need any help, because I think he figured it out very quickly. It's very natural for him. I mean, we still talk about it all the time. Half the time I go to him for questions, and I'm always trying to learn just what other pitchers are trying to do, how it works for them, if I can take anything from it. And you don't see a ton of guys, starters, throwing splitters. So I'll ask him sometimes questions. What is he thinking? What is he feeling? And vice versa. So, but it looks really good for him and really natural.
You go to him, what you mean, just with the split in particular, or you mean with other things as well?
I mean, other things, but splitter too. I'm just naturally very curious, and ton of credit to him for having such a good splitter and entire arsenal. So he's a good guy to just throw things out there and kind of pick his brain.
Yeah, man, he's like, it's funny, when he first came up, everyone talked about, I remember there was a start going into a game which was on Apple TV, and he was pitching against the Royals. And that first like version of Bryce Miller was, fastball up at the top of the strike zone and just getting a ton of swings and misses. But then he kind of evolved where he had to sort of I'm not going to say, reinvent himself, but come up with plan B. And I remember for the Apple game, there we are. And I was helping out with that game in the broadcast, and they had all these graphics on fastball this and pitch usage. I'm like, guys, that's old. That's like 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Because he was all of a sudden, then he was so adaptable. Like, that's one thing with him, man. When you're watching him pitch, is he's so young, but he's able to kind of adapt to the situation. It's crazy like that, watching him do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it spot on. I don't think he gets enough credit right now for how deep his arsenal really is and how advanced his pitches are too. I know going back, I see some similarities between us two, and I go back to my first year. Took me about a full year just to, have a slider that I could throw in the zone. He has a similar slider to me, big lateral curveball with high velo. He's got the splitter. Middle of the year last year, he developed this two-seam on the fly too, which he has such a good forcing. Everybody knows that, but he's able to do things to complement his four seam, to tunnel his pitches better. So he's really figuring it out, and I think has a really deep arsenal.
The Top Step with Ryan Roland Smith is presented by EQC, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Hey, tell us about the group right now. Like, you know, everyone always, especially this time of year, it's tough to tell in spring training because you got so many dudes in camp and young guys, and everyone kind of keeps to himself. It's not like you're on buses or planes together. But what kind of group, if you can talk about having Mitch Haniger come back and some of the new guys, but what kind of group do we have from a clubhouse perspective, like inside that locker room?
I think I've seen this this spring, the experience, and I think just kind of like the certain demeanor that we have about us, especially mentioning Haniger, who's been around a while and probably has the most experience with the Mariners, bringing in Garver, who has the World Series experience and knowing what to expect. And I remember him touching on that and the attitude in the postseason a little bit that stuck out. But Polanco, I mean, a lot of these guys, they just have a certain way about them that it's like we're expecting to win a little bit more. And not really like, let's see what kind of team we have. I think we see around spring training that we do have the pieces to win.
Do you still wake up? Do you still get super nervous going into the game that day, you know, during the day, like when you're waiting all day? Because I struggle with that, man. Having to wait till 7 o'clock to pitch, I just, it'd kill me. I couldn't eat. I'd get super nervous. Is that you during the day?
Yeah, I've thought that recently because we play mornings all spring training, and then you get to night game schedule, and all of a sudden you're sitting around all day, like just antsy waiting for the game. And I do get nervous. I get that kind of antsy feeling, but in a good way where, just like I said a second ago, trying to like just acknowledge that and channel it and use it in a good way instead of pretending like, oh, I'm not nervous, or thinking that you can't be nervous. It's like extra adrenaline, extra energy, and you can channel it in the right way. And I think it means that you care. It means that something's on the line here and it's going to bring the best out of yourself.
No, I love that, dude. I tell kids that all the time, man. Like, when you get nervous, that's just your brain telling you, hey, listen, you're about to go to battle. Like, I love that. Hey, speaking of, you mentioned spring training, making that transition from, you know, a spring training schedule. You're up at like, you know, 6, 7 a.m., 1 o'clock games. Obviously, the games don't count. You're working on something, whatever it may be. How tough is it? Because no matter what, everyone talks about, oh, so-and-so just raked in spring training, then the season started, and man, they couldn't hit, or vice versa. It's like, saw that a little bit with Luis Castillo last year. We saw that with you a couple years ago too, when you were dominating in the month of April, coming out of spring training. What's that like, man? Like, making that transition, I don't think people quite understand. It's you try and take that momentum and everything you built up in spring, and then all of a sudden the games count. It's April, night games, everything else. What's that transition like for you in the last couple of years of coming out of spring?
So probably the biggest thing for me, I mean, seeing how many hits you get, how many strikeouts you get, of course, that's great and that's a good indicator. But probably this year, last year, maybe the year before, it was more about what are the things I do that make me successful, that I stick to over the course of 160 games, that this simplified as much as possible. The things that I can only allow myself to care about these things because this translates to success and there's a bunch of other noise and distractions. That's what spring training has been about for me recently. And we preach dominate the zone, 0-0-1-1 strikes, that kind of stuff. That's a huge part of it. Just body awareness, like getting down the mound, feeling the ball out front in front of me, not falling off the mat, like little things that I think are more important to me to know that, okay, I'm on. This is the stuff that makes me good. That's what I really try to focus on going into April.
I live in Tacoma, and I'm all about the action. From making a run at the tables to multiple pay lines on my favorite machines. Game time. The sportsbook is better than being on the 50-yard line or sitting courtside. I'm here for it. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Hey, one more thing I want to ask you before I let you out of here. A social media post. You did the thanking the fans after the end of 2023, with the photo carousel on Instagram. And I'm noticing some of these little inside joke comments. One of them, I'm going to pull it up right now from, well, there's a couple here. You got Bryce Miller. That's a sandwich if I've ever seen one. I'm going to ask you about that.
It's usually always Bryce commenting on everybody.
All right, but I'm going to ask you about this because I'm dying to know. Okay, so you've written this, like I said, year three in the books. Thank you to all the fans, right? And you're getting all the likes and comments. Mariner fans love you, blah, blah, blah. And then I see this comment. What do you say we talk about the hip hinge? Explain that from Emerson Hancock. What do you got? What's he talking about?
Oh, boy. He's a funny guy. He's very similar to me in a lot of ways. I think in how he understands pitching and mechanics and all this stuff. So obviously he jokes with me because he sees the drills and the things that I do and all that stuff. But he also taps into that, especially in the off season and trying to really get his mechanics down. So he started, asking me about things that I do or things that we're both trying to accomplish that most pitchers do. One of them being a hip hinge. And just the weirdest, most inopportune times. It's usually like just out of nowhere leads off with a question like that. And it's like, why do you need to know about a hip hinge right now?
Yeah, I like it. All right. And then Bryce Miller, that's a sandwich if I ever seen one. What's he referring to?
He always calls me sandwich. I still don't really get it, but that was some of the cheese nicknames for the starters, and he calls me sandwich.
Oh, yes.
And it's like the only one that actually stuck in his mind.
Logan Gilbert, like I said, man, I've got some big predictions or some big hefty goals for 2024. Do you have any personal goals, anything you want to accomplish going into year four?
I mean, I'm always chasing probably some of the same things that you're talking about here, but for me, it's making every start's the biggest thing. Trying to get close to 200 innings. I don't really get too caught up in stat goals and stuff like that, but if I do those two things, a lot of other things are probably going to be all right.
All right, special thanks to my guest this week, Logan Gilbert. He's going to have a monster year. You watch. If you do want to catch the entire interview, uncut, the whole thing, go to YouTube. Go check it out. The entire version's over at YouTube. You can subscribe over there so you don't miss any of the content or any of the upcoming shows. Everything we've got going on right here at the EQC studio. I'm Ryan Roland-Smith. See you next week right here on the Top Step.